Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Genesis chapter number 13, and I want you to stay with me this morning, and I want to read some verses to you, and I'm headed to the very last point of my message this morning. I really want to center in there, but I need to lay a little bit of groundwork before we get there so we can understand what all is lost in the life of Lot. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Genesis 13, I want to pick up reading in verse number 1. The Bible said this, "And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou wilt depart to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from another. Now, I want to say something in passing. I'm not going to deal a great deal with it, but it's very important to understand about this passage. Look back in verse number 4. The Bible said this, "Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord." There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Before Abram ever approaches Lot about the situation, Abraham calls on the name of the Lord. Before he ever talks to him, he says, Lord, what would you have me to do with this situation? Now, Lot has the situation brought before him, and Abraham says, what will you do with it? Nowhere do we find Lot going to the altar and calling on the name of the Lord before he makes the decision. We all know Lot's fixing to make a decision that's going to destroy his whole family. But if he'd only visited the altar, boy, how important it is of us as daddies that we visit the altar for our family and the decisions that we make. Nowhere do we find that Lot does that. The Bible said in verse number 11, "Then Lot chose him the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from another. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that we would rightly divide the word of truth. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, God, to say only the things, God, that you'd have us to say this morning. I pray, God, that you'd save that sinner closest to hell, God. I pray that if there's any here out of your will, that you'd bring them back close to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into this passage of Scripture for just a little while this morning. I want to preach to you about this thought, the dangers of backsliding, the dangers of backsliding. Let's take a minute to look at that word danger. Here's what it means. It means peril. It means risk, hazard, exposure to injury. It means loss, pain, or other evil loss. Now, there is a danger this morning. There is a risk, a hazard, an exposure to injury or loss that is before us. The word backsliding means this. Matter of fact, the word backsliding is not a word that you hear much anymore, if you'll just be real honest within yourself. I remember as a boy growing up, the old timers, quote unquote, would preach on backsliding all the time. They used that word, but boy, we don't hear about it anymore. Here's what we hear about today. They have a disease. Now, if you'll help the preacher, we'll get to where we're going and go home and eat chicken. They have a disease. They've just not been raised the right. No, man, they're still backsliding in our country today. The word backsliding means this. It's a falling in significantly from religion into sin or idolatry. In other words, it's a falling away from God. In other words, it's a not being where you used to be with the Lord. Can I ask you a question this morning? Was there ever a time in your life that you read your Bible more than you read it right now? Was there ever a time in your life that you prayed more than you're praying right now? Was there ever a time in your life that you attended church more faithfully than you do right now? If the answer to all of that is yes, you may want to listen up this morning, because there might be a danger that you're beginning to backslide. Now, I'm not talking about losing our salvation this morning, because the Bible is very plain when it teaches us that we have life eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the day that I got saved, the Holy Spirit sealed me until the day of redemption. I don't believe that nowhere in the Bible you'll find that we can lose our salvation. However, we can come to a place that we have walked away from the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this? Fellowship can be broken. Has fellowship ever been broken between you and your spouse? Now, everybody is scared to death this morning to say anything. Has fellowship ever been broken between you and your spouse? You know what? Sometimes Leslie and I walks in on Sunday morning, and man, we've got a smile on our face. And you see me walk over and talk to her while she's standing in the choir, and she's got a smile on her face, and we're about to rip each other's eyeballs out while we're talking to each other. Fellowship broken. Is that right, Brother Aaron? Has fellowship ever been broken down at the Stoltzfus household? Brother Potts, his fellowship, it was Christy's fault, wasn't it? He said, oh, yeah, that's good preaching right there. Fellowship can be broken between you and God. You know what I found out the biggest part of the time when fellowship was broken between Leslie and I? It's one of the kids' fault. No, a lot of times it's my own fault. It's something that I've done. She's usually the quickest to say, I'm sorry. And then it's always, it's not meant from the heart, because it's followed up like this. I'm the only one that ever says it. That wasn't from your heart, man. You still got bitterness. You need to go back to the altar, amen. She's usually the first one to say it. And then usually, Jacob, it's followed up with this. What have I done to apologize for? I didn't do nothing. You're the one that got mad. I just told you the truth. Now, somebody help the preacher. We're not the only two like that. We don't have arguments. We throw frying pans at our house. Are you with me this morning? Fellowship's broken. You know what? The biggest part of the time, let me just say this, it's not the biggest part of the time. It's every time when it comes to our relationship with God, when fellowship is broken, it is our fault. It's because we've done something. And there is a danger, if I could say it this way, to having broken fellowship with God. A danger to that this morning. When you begin to study the life of Lot, he's a very interesting man to study. When you begin to study his life, we meet him in Genesis chapter number 11, and we find out that his daddy is a man by the name of Hanun. And whenever you begin to study, or Haran, and whenever you study his life out, it appears that probably his father dies as Lot is a very young man. We're introduced to him, and then the next verse follows up that Haran ends up dying. As we continue to study his life, we find out that it appears that Abraham takes Lot in and begins to raise Lot and to try to take care of Lot. And Abraham probably becomes a father figure to this man by the name of Lot. Now we know this about Abraham. Let's take just a second to look at his life. We know this about Abraham. I'll just give it to you in one phrase. He was the friend of God. Abraham was the friend of God. Whenever we study Abraham's life, he was a man that loved God and walked in the fellowship of God. But now he's got a son practically that he's raised that is walking away from the fellowship of God. Matter of fact, when we study Abraham's life, we study Lot's life, it comes in our mind, how in the world did Lot get raised by Abraham? Because they are so separate in their lives whenever we come to this passage of Scripture. You see, Lot come to a time in his life where he had to make a decision on what he was going to do. Abraham, being his father figure, begins in verse number 8 and gives some counsel to Lot. Now, can I say this to you? Don't always take counsel negatively. Don't always take it as a threat. Sometimes people's trying to help you, and that's exactly what's happening in Lot's life. Watch this in verse number 8. Abraham is his father figure. There, he begins to give him some counseling. There's the concern in the counseling. Look in verse number 8. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Lot, man, I want our relationship to be right. Note this, the command in the counseling in verse number 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Now watch this. Separate thyself. Abraham and Lot, some people think that this is very quote unquote mean on Abraham's part. But Abraham come to a point in his life where he had to look at a young man that was just like his own son to him. I believe that in all of my heart. And he says this, you've got to separate yourself from me. You're living a lifestyle that's different to me. Anybody hearing a preacher this morning? There was the command in the counseling. He said, separate yourself from us. Watch this. There was the courtesy in the counseling, though. Abraham allows Lot to choose first. Abraham was the eldest. Abraham could have chose what land he wanted first, but Abraham allows Lot to make the choice of what part of the land he wanted. And we know the story. Lot ends up choosing the wrong way. Every man in their life, every woman in their life, every young person in their life comes to a crossroad where a choice has to be made. You know, so many times we want to, and I want you to stay with me right here, but so many times we want to blame the sins of people on their raising, on their parents, and they didn't have a chance growing up and this and this. But there comes a time when a young man becomes an adult, or a young lady becomes an adult, and there comes a time when God speaks to their heart and they find themselves at a crossroad and they have to make a choice which way they're going to go. Abraham and Lot came to that place, and Lot comes to a place where he can choose this way or he can choose this way. And Lot lifted up his eyes and looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, top of the world, and says, that's what I want. Lot did not have to go to the world. Lot chose in his own power to go to the world. Can I say something to you? I understand, I want you to stay with me right here. I understand that there's people that has addiction problems. I am not against them. I am for them. I want to help them. I want to do anything that I can do biblically based to help them. Somebody say amen. They need God's what they need. I understand that there is addiction issues. However, that addiction did not have to be. We can rewind it to one day in their life when they made a personal choice to try it for the first time. And because of that personal choice, it all goes back to personal responsibility. And when they decided to try it for the first time, then an addiction set up after that. Yes, we need to love them. Yes, we need to get them to God. Yes, we need to get them the help that they need. But it all comes down to a crossroad in our lives. A crossroad in our life. I want to look at Lot's backsliding, or Lot's separating, or Lot's turning away for just a minute this morning. Number one, I want you to see the reasons for Lot's backsliding. What caused Lot to do what he did? Well, if we was to ask Flip Wilson, he'd say the devil made him do it. And you know what? A lot of times today, somebody give me a witness right here this morning. A lot of times today, that's what we say. Well, it was the devil that made me do that. You know, man, the devil was on my back and the devil... No, you done it yourself. You made that choice. The reason for his, number one, watch this, and the reason of his backsliding, look at his success in verse number 5. And Lot also... which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Lot was no longer dependent upon Abraham. Lot was no longer dependent upon the Lord to help him. Lot had reached a point in his life where he had decided he didn't need nobody else. There's nothing wrong with success. Every individual ought to want to succeed in everything they do. You know me well enough to know that if you're going to sweep the floor, be the best floor sweeper. If you're going to clean commodes, man, clean them to the best of your ability. Succeed in everything that you do. But be careful that your success is not your downfall. How many people, let's be real this morning, how many people have you ever known that was just a humble, good old person until they got success? And as soon as success hit them, as soon as a promotion hit them, those the easiest people that you ever worked with until a promotion hit them, Brother Gray. And as soon as a promotion hit them, man, they couldn't walk through the door because their head blowed up so big. And you know what? They came to a place where they didn't need you no more, and they didn't need nobody else no more. And then they come to a place where they don't need God no more. They don't need God's word anymore. And Lot had came to a place. Hey, yes, his father had died. Somebody else had raised him. But he had come to a place where he had succeeded on his own, to a place he did not need God anymore. May we be careful that success is not our downfall. I mean what I'm fixing to say with all of my... I am so thankful for what God's doing at our church. I am so thankful for it. I'm so thankful. I'm humbled by what He's doing. Man, He is blessing us. This week we put in for that 50-50 grant. Man, I hope that y'all pray about that over the next couple months. It'll probably be September before we hear from it. But boy, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the building that God's allowing us to plan to build, and looking at all the architectural prints, man. And we got that civil drawing this week, the way the new parking lot will be over here and the building will set. And man, that beautiful big timbered front porch coming off of it. I was thinking this morning, man, next year at this time, hopefully we'll be sitting underneath that big front porch on rocking chairs, eating donuts and drinking coffee. Somebody say amen. If you can't say amen on nothing, you can say amen on donuts and coffee. I'm thankful for every bit of it, but I'd rather have 20 people in the move of God in a storefront building than to succeed and us lose the power of God in our church. What caused this in Lot's life? The reason for it. Well, there was success. Number two, the reason for it, there was strife. Look in verse number 7. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. That word strife means controversy, dispute, quarrel. What caused him to start down this road? Well, his success, but then his strife. There was controversy there. There was controversy there. Watch this. There was separation. verse number 8 and 9. I've already read it to you, but Abraham comes to him and he says, "Separate thyself." And you know what Lot ends up doing? He does that. He separates himself, watch this, from the friend of God. Lot separates himself. There is some people that we need to be separated from. I am all for loving the sinner, but not the sin. We talked about that again this morning in Sunday school. We dealt with that and how to love them and be nice to them. But you know what? I don't have to invite them into my home to eat supper. I'm going to love them. I'm going to be good to them. But there was a separation that took part in the life of Lot. What did Lot separate himself from? Lot separated himself from Abraham, the friend of God. When you allow the world to separate you from the house of God and the people of God and the presence of God and the power of God and the working of God, then you're starting to go down the wrong road at your crossroads. He separated himself. He separated himself from the people of God. Man, hear me this morning. You need the church. You need the house of God. The house of God needs you. Hey, you may not want to admit this, but you need me. And I need you. I will admit it. I need you in my life. Don't separate yourself from the wrong, from the right people. Separate yourself from the reasons of it. Number two, I got to hurry because I really want to deal with the last point more than any. I see the reasons of it. I see the route of Lot's backsliding. What was the route that he took? Well, if you'll look in verse number 10, it was the route of least resistance. Verse number 10, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah." There was no mountains in his ways. There was no deserts in his ways. He chose the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance is not always the path of least resistance. Can I say that again? The path of least resistance is not always the path of least resistance. The devil will make that path look so good. The devil will make it look so good. But you know what? It ends up being an absolute disaster. It was a path of least resistance. It was a lustful route in verse number 10 again. But then it was also the route of loose restrictions. Verse number 13, "And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Loose restrictions. Why are you putting all these, kids say, "Why are you putting all these rules on me? Why you got Life 360 on my phone? And why you do this and why you do that?" Because you need that in your life. You need that. That hedge is to keep some things in and to keep some things out. That was the route of it. But here's really where I want to look at. The reason for his backsliding, the route of his backsliding. But I'll give you this in closing. The results of it. The results of it. This statement's often been made, and I'll probably say it again at the closing today. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay. And it will keep you longer than you want to stay. Can I say that to you again? Sin will always take you further than you want to go. It will always keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will always cost you more than you want to pay. The results of backsliding. The results of taking the wrong turn at the crossroad in your life. The results of it. Well, let's look at what happened in Lot's life in closing. Can I say this? His Christian character was gone. When you read verses number 5 through 8 in chapter number 19, if you want to flip over there, I'm going to read these verses to you. Verse number 5 says this, "And they called unto Lot," and said, he's living in Sodom now, Sodom and Gomorrah. "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came unto thee, this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after them and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as it is good unto your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, For therefore came they unto thee under the shadow of my roof. Whenever you study that out, it's the angels of God that came to him that night. And the wicked men of Sodom and Gomorrah came wanting to have their way with the angels that came to him that night. And look what he says. He says, don't touch them. Let me give you my children. He has lost every bit of his Christian character. Watch this. What did it cost him? Come start playing softly, if you will, Miss Tina. It lost him his children's confidence. Look in verse number 14, chapter number 19. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. He lost the confidence of his kids. He is attempting to save his kids' life at this moment, and they're laughing in his face. I said, you're crazy, man. They have lost all confidence in their father. But watch this. He lost his companion. Look in verse number 26. But his wife, this is Lot's wife, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. God told him when they left, God spared him. Boy, it's a whole nother message. I wish I had time to preach an hour on it. God spared Lot. God got him out of there. But he lost some things. He lost his wife. He watched his wife die in front of his own eyes. Turned to a pillar of salt and die in front of his own eyes. Because of his decision. You remember the statement I said just a minute ago. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. It will always keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll always cost you more than you want to pay. Go back to chapter 13. Let me show you. So I want you to turn with me. Chapter 13, look in verse number 12. Chapter 13, verse number 12, the Bible said this. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. In chapter 13, he's not in Sodom. He's just looking toward Sodom. He's just looking toward Sodom. He's not there yet. I'm talking about the progress of his backslide. He's just looking that way. He's still got a chance to run over there to the altar that Abraham had established and get his life right. He's not in Sodom yet. He's just looking that way. And I'm going to tell you something, you better be careful what you're looking towards. He's looking that way. Watch this, chapter 14. Watch his progress. Chapter 14, verse number 12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Now he's not camped outside of Sodom, he's living in Sodom. It all started with looking that way. Watch this, chapter 19, verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Can I say it this way? He's now the mayor of Sodom. He's now running the city. He's now the big dog in Sodom. You know where every bit of it started at? Him looking toward Sodom. He looked that way. You know where Eve's sin started at? She looked and saw the fruit. You know where David's sin started at? He walked upon the rooftop and looked and saw Bathsheba. You say, does it hurt to look? Absolutely, it hurts to look, because if you look at the menu long enough, you're going to order something off of it. Read the devotion that comes out tomorrow, Tuesday, that I wrote last week. It always hurts to look, because you're going to end up ordering something if you look long enough. He just glanced at it. He looked up, and boy, it looked great out there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, you know what, Abraham? He said, that's a path of least resistance. I'm going that way. But in chapter number 19, when he's running away from fire and brimstone that's fallen in Sodom and Gomorrah, and if God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and judged the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, God will judge the sin of our day. That's a whole nother message within itself. God will judge the sin of our day. We're probably already seeing some of that judgment when you look at our country. Amen. But watch this. God, I gotta get done. God, before it got too bad, got Lot out of there. He got Lot out of there. You know what? He got Lot's wife out of there, but Lot's wife loved that world better than she did Christ. And she looked back, and Lot stood there that day and watched his own wife die in front of him because of a decision that he made in chapter 13. Your sin will always affect more than you. And the sin, the effect of your sin will always come at a later date. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man... I know we're not shouting and running, but I believe I'm right where God wants me at this morning. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Daddy, if you're putting worldliness in the ground, that's what you're going to reap. Daddy, if you're not teaching your kids to use an altar, they're never going to use an altar. Daddy, if you're not teaching your kids to live right and walk right and talk right, hey, hear me and hear me well. I'm all for raising them to be gentlemen. I'm all for raising them to be young ladies. I'm all for raising them to be respectful. But more than anything, I'm for raising them according to this book right here and teaching them the foundations of the Word of God and teaching them when they come to a crossroad in their life, they do like Abraham did, find their place in an altar and seek the counsel of God. Madeline talked about going into the nursing program. You know what I told her? I said, Madeline, you need to find yourself away somewhere and pray. You need to ask God if that's what God wants for your life. You need to ask the Lord. You say, well, preacher, that's crazy. No, that's not crazy. Because let me tell you something, and let's just be real honest. That's a wicked world. EMS, law enforcement, fire, hospitals, it's a soap opera and it's a wicked world. If you might as well holler amen. I got a little bit of insight on every one of them worlds. And I'm telling you, it's a wicked world. And you better have God on your side. No, God's one wanting you to do that. We need those people. Thank God for those people. I love those people and support those people. But you better have God on your side. I said, you better get a hold of God. You say, why is that important? Because the devil could take her down that road, and the devil could pull her into that lifestyle, and the devil could destroy every Christian value I've ever taught her in her life. Young people, learn to pray when you get to that crossroad in your life. The result, sin will pay off. It's going to pay off in time. I don't know when. Be not deceived, though. God is not mocked.